Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. I'm just glad to be here with you on this virtual connection and just excited to be connected with Jesus. Any amens out there? Hallelujahs. Put it in the chat wherever you're standing, sitting. Just give God some immense praise, for he has definitely been good, especially as the seasons of the world continue on. We've had tremendously warm weather and cold weather. We've got all kinds of seasonal fluxes that are going out throughout our world, but we thank God for his grace and mercy. I just want to thank you for your continual prayers for Ebenezer and this virtual connection at ebcnc.com. Still encourage you, as always, make sure you have those apps so you can stay notified of the different changes that are coming up or different Bible studies that we have. Also, just wanted to remind you that we are in our Bible reading program and we are progressing very quickly through the Bible in our chronological plan. So we encourage you to get on the Bible bus. Maybe you didn't get started with us the 1st of January. Just jump in where we're at and continue on even as we finish in December. We are living epistles. God has given us to the world as an example of his who he is and his power and his authority. So I just thank the Lord for just using us. I want to encourage you to continue to stay tuned to ebcnc.com for our Monday manna, different teachings and training sessions. Then on Tuesday at noonday, we have our Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis. And I'm telling you, this whole saga with Jacob and Rachel and Leah and all the children and Laban, it has been a journey. Also on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on the virtual connection, we are going through the book of Luke. We're in the midst of the crucifixion. Actually, we've made it to the tomb, and Jesus is getting ready to get up with all power. So I just thank God for the word that he's given us via his 66 books. And then on Thursdays, our in-person Bible study right in our sanctuary at 2700 West Vandalia Road, we're going to the book of 1 Corinthians. It has been challenging because it has really shown us all aspects of our lives, where we're living at right now. And I believe in my heart that God has given us a word for everything that we're up against in our lives, or at least giving us some parameters that we can walk in, and thank God for his gift of his Holy Spirit. Please continue up to lift up in prayer our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and of course, this 10 o'clock online. I want to thank you for your giving. God wants us to purpose in our heart. There are portions of scriptures that talk about laying up an offering at the beginning of the week, and we thank you for doing that. As we purpose in our heart, we can give not grudgingly or of necessity, but we can give cheerfully. Why? Because God has been so, so good to us. So I just want to thank you. I know it's tax time also. And so during this season, we always want to make sure that you get your notifications if you need. There's some that itemize. So if you need some notifications, just call our church office at 336-292-8449 and we can get you a printout. But if you're giving online using the Tithely app, you can go into those parameters, your account, and you can print out that information right where you're sitting at or standing at, right from your phone or your printer computer at home. So please, 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 if you're giving online, you already have access to all of that information. And again, we thank you. If you're in our in-person services, you're giving and you need those printouts, please just contact Elizabeth Page at 336-292-8449 and we will get you that information ASAP. So thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Well, as you can see on my background, we're going to deal with what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for us and why it's so important, getting back to the basics and really embracing how much the Lord truly loves us. Well, I want our hearts to be prepared as we seek the Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about today's word. We'll see you soon.
I want to read for you Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Just to encourage our hearts as we go forth from day to day. We all need encouragement. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy a safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord will uphold the uprighteous. The Lord will uphold the righteous. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation's purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his spirit, washed in his blood. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I'll do that second verse now. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
It is so good to know that Jesus is our Lord and to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, today we're getting back to the basics. And I've been blessed, even as we've just kind of entered into this study together. Many have come up and just been very vocal and appreciating getting to the basics that we can walk strong on a daily basis. God wants to use us, especially in this season. So many things are going on. People just want to see real saints, not just someone that goes to church on Sunday or that's online or in Bible study, but someone who is living out what they're reading, living out what they're memorizing. We're going to get into a memory scripture. Speaking of memorizing, on our last section that we just came out, we had one. And last Sunday, I was preaching through the book of James, at least that first chapter. And the Lord, as I was coming into this lesson, he's like, yeah, this is going to be our memory scripture. So I don't know how long, but this James 1, 26 and 27, really feel that needs to get deep into our heart. So as always, we're going to ask you to read it aloud with me. So let's read it aloud together, that James 1, 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I know you're like, Pastor, that's a long memory scripture. We'll get it. I will keep on reading it each Sunday that it can get into our minds and seep into our hearts. Well, before we go any further, just want to go in a word of prayer, and I ask you to come with me as we pray to our Heavenly Father. Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for being in charge. Lord, we thank you for this virtual connection, Lord, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to touch hearts. Father, if there is anyone out there that's not saved right now, listening or viewing, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as we continue on, remember, individuals gave me topics throughout the church about, you know, basic things that they really wanted to dig into, that they wanted to understand. And one of those topics was the blood. It is an expansive topic, but the Lord just led me to a section of scripture today in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, we're going to be dealing with the blood. Hebrews chapter 13, and I want you to focus with me on that 12th verse. Hebrews 13 and 12. Listen to this. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. I want to speak from a title today. His blood still works. Yes, his blood still works. Bishop Larry Trotter, in introducing the song that I'm going to deal with momentarily, told of a true story that occurred during 9-1-1. It was told of this young lady who rode with her friends, and they would go to the Trade Center. They did that throughout the week, business days. And on that 911, as they're traveling to the Trade Center, this young lady, she gets a nosebleed. It is just bad. It's tremendously bad. The blood comes down her front, and so much she has to tell her friends to go on to the Trade Center without her. Later on, as she's back in her apartment, cleaning up, trying to get herself together, she looks at the news, and we know this horrific news that these buildings have fallen. Her friends have perished in this destruction, this terrorist act. And people later on, they begin to question her, why didn't you, why weren't you there? And she said these words, "I was covered in the blood." And I want you to really connect with me today, because this is where we are, to really understand the symbolism, but the reality of Jesus' blood, the power that he possessed as God, omnipotent, God all-powerful, to save us, wretches like us. Vashon Mitchell wrote this powerful psalm, describes, it really concisely summarizes our lesson today. He said, "His blood still works, and I'm glad to report that it never lost its power. Yes, it works. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His blood still works, and I'm here to testify. God is not dead. He is still alive." Any amens to that? "The same blood that was shed way back at Calvary is the same blood that's working now for me. Oh, his blood redeems me from the stain of sin, and his blood cleanses me deep down within. So if you ask me how I made it and how I've overcome, I can tell you it's because of the blood." Any amens out there? Just put the blood in the chat today as we talk about his blood still works. Time frame of this particular section of scripture in this book is around 64 to 68 AD. Now, I must tell you, the writer, the author, is really unknown. We just know it's the Spirit of God that moved on this person to write these awesome scriptures for us today. As you go through the book of Hebrews and you study from the beginning, you learn about the high priest. That is the really foundational point throughout the whole book. And sometimes it gets very complicated, but here in this book, we learn immensely about the blood of Christ. Let's jump in this section today, Hebrews 13 and 7. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Here's our first point: the righteous example. Yes, the righteous example. Here, as we go into this section, the Spirit of God moves upon the writer to actually remember the leaders, those who have lived a righteous example, a righteous life before the followers that really were covered under the blood of Christ. Notice here in this Hebrews 13, 7 again, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken," here it is, "the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Now, these leaders were faithful. They loved the flock of God, and they lived and led by example. This was not something that they just did when they came to the home churches of that time, but they lived this within their family unit. They showed this, those that were married, to their wives and their children, the singles. They lived this out in sanctification unto the Lord. Now, as we look at this even closer, the scriptures tend to indicate here, it says the outcome of their conduct, that in context, it is dealing with some of the leaders that actually died because they were faithful unto the Lord. They lived such a holy and sanctified life that literally the enemy came and was allowed that they would be martyrs for the faith. Now, as I think about leadership of the day, leadership is under attack. Any amens out there? It is. When you listen to our media, our social media, there's so many pastors that have fallen. There are a lot of rumors that are out there of this and that. We see that whole entire denominations are under attack. But I want you to know that God is still faithful. God is still gracious, and God is still raising up shepherds and leaders after his own heart. Hebrews 11:36 is actually a wink back from this particular one, thinking about those leaders to remember. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They were wanderers in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. His blood still works. To think about the precedents that had been set, that the people who loved the Lord so much from the Old Testament to the New Testament, willing to die for him and to give up all just to be in the presence of the Lord. Notice as the Spirit continues to speak in Hebrews 13:8, I love this scripture. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's the point. The gospel is consistent. The gospel is consistent. This 66 books, I'm telling you, it has stood the test of time. The consistency of it. It is one that the enemy has tried to get rid of through the years, but God has kept God's word strong and powerful so that we can actually encapsulate it through Jesus Christ and, most important, his Holy Spirit, the gift that he's given us. There's so much mess that has been introduced into the body of Christ. Any amens out there? So much false doctrine and stuff that's just coming out of opinion, but we got to get back to the word of God. We got to know that the blood still works. 1 Corinthians 14:33 talks about what happens when we get into God's word. We're covered under the blood. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Can you put in the chat peace? Can you just say peace as in all the churches of the saints? When we really understand the power of the blood of Christ, that symbolism of what Christ has done for us, we can walk into peace. We can realize no matter what the enemy brings our way, that we are covered. Can anybody just scream out covered? We are covered in the blood of Christ. But Jesus speaks of the traits of the devil. When we get out of that covering, when we don't understand the basics of Christianity, John 8:44, he says to those that were around him coming against him, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you see that? Do you sense that in our society? Do you sense that? That attack has been stepped up in this season of time. But I want you to know Jesus' blood still works. Christ's teachings are consistent and true. He's used his prophets and priests to propagate sound doctrine throughout the ages. Paul speaks of this in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. That 16th verse, I love this. All, can you put in the chat? All, this is important here. His blood still works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The consistency of the gospel is seen throughout the scriptures, but in this context today, it continues on to Hebrews 13:9. Listen to this. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Here's the next point. I want you to get this one. Stay away from strange stuff. Yes, stay away from strange stuff. I remember, and I think it's on in several places. There was a show that I really entertained and enjoyed. It was called The Fear Factor. The Fear Factor, and The Fear Factor, what the reason it drew me in, they had strange stuff that was going on. I know the point is to stay away from the strange stuff, but I was intrigued. I was intrigued with how they brought in these different tactics to bring fear into the heart and to try to get these people not to do these particular things so someone else could win. But I remember one got next to me. They had the individuals to lie down in a coffin, and when they were lying down in the coffin, they had about millions of roaches that they poured into the coffin, and it covered the individual, and the individual had to stay there for a lengthy period of time with roaches that were crawling over them. And I'm like, my Lord, my God, I'm telling you, but that's strange stuff. But when it comes to the Word of God, we've got to stay in the foundation of what God has built within His scriptures, and we got to stay away from the strange stuff. And in context here in this scripture, the saints had gotten caught up in legalism. There was a group called the Judaizers that had come in, and they were saying that as long as you do the outward stuff, then that makes you holy. But that's not what God's word. God's word said that I'm going to change you from the inside out. So many people have focused on the outside, but they hadn't been changed on the inside. There ought to be some shouts of praise out there. Theologian Farstead, a scholar of that time, he really gives us an understanding. He said the Judaizers insisted that holiness was connected with externals, such as ceremonial worship and clean foods, for example. The truth is that holiness is produced by grace. And you put in the chat, grace, wherever you're standing, sitting, say grace, not by law. Grace is so important. It's not by legalistic actions. Legislation concerning clean and unclean foods was designed to produce ritual cleanness, but this is not the same thing as inward holiness. A man might be ceremonial clean and yet be filled with hatred and hypocrisy. You know anybody like that? Only God's grace can inspire and empower believers to live holy lives. His blood still works. It's by God's grace. It's about understanding that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God, and we realize if it had not been for the grace and mercy of the Lord, people can get so caught up in outward stuff, the way they're dressed, or the things that they carry to church, the type of Bibles that they carry around. But saints, please understand, there must be a transformation on the inside. We got to stay away from the strange stuff. He builds on this. Hebrews 13:10, it says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned, here it is, outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify or separate the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Here's the point. Jesus paid it all. Yes, the blood still works. Jesus paid it all. Evina Hall in 1865 really gave us this hymn that talks about really the efficacy of the blood of Christ. He said, I hear the Savior say that thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing have I whereby grace to claim. I wash my garments white, here it is, in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to say, my lips shall repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. Isn't that good? See, within this scripture, the altar that the Spirit is speaking of is that of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. The blood still works. The sacrifice that took place on Calvary at Golgotha's, that whole big picture of what the Lord has done for us. And notice also from that scripture, it took place outside the city. Yes, it was not in the city. It was outside the gates of the city. The true millions of sacrifices of the Old Testament, the blood that was shed in gallons upon gallons upon gallons was not enough to wash away our sins. There ought to be some thankful folks in there. No matter how many lambs, no matter how many turtle doves they dragged to the altar of the Old Testament, it was not enough. But I thank God for Jesus. Hebrews 10:4 says this, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." It wasn't possible. It wasn't possible. God had put that as an example to let us know there had to be someone that was better to come forth. There had to be someone that was more powerful, that the blood had so much power to really save those that would call on the name of Jesus. Look at that Hebrews 13:12. "Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood." Can you put in the chat again? Blood with his own blood suffered outside the gate. Jesus, before he died, he actually talked about the sacrifice of this blood. His blood still works in Mark 14:22. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'Here it is, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many.'" His blood still works. Because we understand his monumental sacrifice, we understand that Jesus paid it all for us. We've got to run to him. If we won't change from the inside out, you got to run to Jesus. You got to embrace him. You got to know that it's not about the outside, but it's about the change that can only take place on the inside by what Jesus has done. The blood of Jesus, the blood still worked. Ephesians 2:8 said it, "But by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift." Can you put in the chat, the gift of God, "not of works, lest anyone should boast." The basis of what we need to continually run to Jesus, his blood still works. Look at Hebrews 13:14. "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." I love this point. We are passing through. Yes, we're passing through. I love the Living Bible translation. It says, "For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our everlasting home in heaven." Isn't that good? I remember going overseas. I've been there several times. Australia, the farthest place, all the way around the world. And we were there for a good little bit. And we had places that we were staying at. They were comfortable. And it was blessed to see the kangaroos jump across the street and all of those. It was really a culture shock. But I realized something. No matter how comfortable my bed was, no matter how used I got to going from place to place, I was like, This place is not my home. I got to go back to North Carolina. That's all the way around the world. And it brought comfort to me because there was time that I got homesick. But I said, you know what? Eventually, I'm going to get on that plane and I'm going to make my way back home. It's the same thing here. As we are Christians covered under the blood of the Lord, we realize this place is not our home. Any hallelujahs out there? I thank God. I thank God for the provisions, homes or apartments. I thank God for what he's done, the foods that he's given us to be able to partake in. Oh, it's so wonderful to have family, friends, relationship. But there's somewhere in there has to click in the heart of the saint that's covered in the blood. This place is not our home. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, God even speaks through Paul the apostle and lets us know that we are ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. His blood still works. I'm telling you, as we think about this, we are just passing through. We are examples of the glory of God, and we understand that the blood still works. Look at this final section, Hebrews 13 and 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That 16th verse, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We're getting back to the base. Here's our final point. It's time for praise and thanksgiving. Yes, it's time for praise and thanksgiving. Now let's break down these final verses here. That 15th verse, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Because we understand the power of the blood, we understand what Jesus has done on the cross, we want to thank him. I'm telling you, I use this often when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul shouts out hallelujah. It never fails, man. That's exciting, man. It will emotionalize you, because when you put your mind on the fact, if it had not been for the grace of the Lord, I'm telling you, all of us would still be in a place of on our way to hell. But there ought to be some saints say, thank you, Lord, that the blood still works. And because we know that, we make the sacrifice of praise. Even when we don't feel like praising him, we begin to think about how good he is. I know some of you right now, you're confined to your home, because you've got diseases that are coming upon you. But I dare you right now to lift up the hand. I dare you right now to give God the sacrifice of praise, because in spite of, you know that he's a healer. In spite of, you know he can raise you up. In spite of, you already know what he's brought you through to get you to this day. Isn't he worthy of the sacrifice of praise? But notice that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There's got to be some time you just say, thank you, Lord. I remember, it seems to be way back years and years when my great-great-grandma was alive, and I remember going over there as a little tot, and I remember her sitting on the porch, and I would hear her say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Didn't understand, I didn't know what was going on, but she was just sitting on the porch and go, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But as I've gotten older, there have been times I've been sitting around and go, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Why? Because I began to get overwhelmed that the blood's still works, that what God has done for us, how God has saved us and delivered us. But notice here in Hebrews 13, 16, there's another section. As we're praising him, as we're giving the sacrifice and we're thanking him, God wants us to walk out some stuff, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. So as we're giving praise and we're thanksgiving, giving thanksgiving to God, God expects us to do good. He expects us to share. What he's saying is, I just don't want verbal. I just don't want you jumping around, but I want you to take that energy and that emotion, and I want other people to be blessed. I'm telling you, his blood still works. So are you giving him praise and thanksgiving? Are you showing other people good? Are you sharing with God's provisions that he's given you in your life? If you're doing that, you understand that the blood still works. See, Jesus came from heaven to earth from us, and you know what? He talked and he gave teachings like none other. You remember the one that he began to talk about his body and his blood in John 6:53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Many of the disciples of that time, that they were just would-be followers, they weren't ready to commit. They weren't ready to give a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And so some of them walked away thinking that he was talking about cannibalism. But the 54th verse said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then he said, for
For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. I'm telling you, his blood still works. By understanding all of this, that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for us, he carried our sins and he bore our griefs. There ought to be some saints say, thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad the blood still works, that he died on that cross of Calvary? They put him in a cold grave, but he got up on the third day with all power and all glory. And now we can celebrate because God has given us access to a building not made by hands. He's given us access to a glorious place, a new heaven and a new earth. But I love this Revelation 12:10. It really sums up understanding that his blood still works. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. There ought to be some excitement about that. But look at this 11th verse. And they overcame him by the blood. You better scream out blood. Put it in the chat. Blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives till death. I am telling you the efficacy, the power of the blood of Christ. His blood still works. And saints of God, I just want you to thank the Lord for what he's done for us. His blood still works. Saints, we are the blessed of the blessed. God has done exceedingly, abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. And when we embrace, when we understand the power of God's blood, I'm telling you, everything changes. I know you've heard saints say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. We've got songs. I plead the blood. And what it's saying, we're so connected and we're so covered in what Christ has done for us. We are so grateful and we walk in his authority. Saints of God, it is time to step up. It is time to celebrate what God is doing from the inside out in you. And it's time for us to share the good news. Remember our memory scripture. It's time to get out and to visit and to love on the orphans and the widows. It's time to make a difference in our society, because I'm seeing the days are growing darker and darker. And that's letting me know something, that the signs of the times are coming together, that Jesus one day soon will crack that sky and come back on a cloud where every eye can see him. And you know what I'm looking forward to hear him say? Well done, my good and faithful servants. I pray that that's your desire as we walk in Christ and we know his blood still works. If you're out there and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we talked about that, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace through faith and not of yourselves, it is a gift from him. I encourage you to take that gift. Only God can save you. Yes, he saves you. He gives you that gift of the Holy Spirit, and he changes you from the inside out. That is good news. Would you call on him? And as you're calling on him, he'll transform you. And I encourage you to connect with a body of Christ that you can grow in him. We've been blessed at Ebenezer to have baptisms and to see how God is adding to the body of Christ and changing hearts, transforming lives. And I encourage you, get connected to a body of Christ where you can step out and show that symbolism of the death, burial, and resurrection through baptism of what Jesus Christ has already done in your heart. I am telling you, God is so good to the saints. We've got to stand strong. We've got to grow more in the Lord. We have to represent that the blood still works. Those who are going through, I want to pray with you, and I want you to know that you can trust the Lord. His power has not failed. Oh, yes, the old saint said he may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. I'm believing that right now, whatever your situation is, it's going to be turned around. I'm believing right now, whatever you're going through, God is able to raise you up. You just got to trust him. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for saving souls. I thank you for delivering. I thank you for giving a word of encouragement to the saints, Father God, that we can praise you. We can give thanks to you, and we can show forth, Father, your goodness, Lord, by sharing and reaching out and understanding that our lives are covered in the blood. Father, there's some that are listening right now. They've got disease in their body, Lord. They're battling right now. There's pain that's going on. But right now, Father, I touch and agree with them that you will raise them up. Lord, I know you as a healer. I know you as a doctor in a sick room. So I thank you what the enemy has meant for their harm. You are changing it for their good right now. But Father, I also have come to understand that you can give us grace to go through our storms, just as you did with the Apostle Paul, where he said he had a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And he was able to cry out, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Whatever the situation, whatever your will is right now, Father, I ask you to move, touch your people. Lord, we just thank you that your blood still works. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. Some lonely nights, but when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see, but I just say, thank you, Lord. I want some plan. God has been good to me. To me, more than you or this world could ever be. He's been so good to me. He dries all of my tears away, turn my midnight into day. So I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain.
Be a part of your body and to be washed in the blood and out of manifestation to the world that they love you, they know you, they have been washed clean through the blood of Jesus, and now they want to do an outward expression of to the world as a testimony from this day forward, Lord, that they are not ashamed of you, they're not ashamed of the gospel, and they honor you and receive you as Savior, and they want it known to the world publicly by this outward manifestation of immersion into the water to be baptized. So we thank you now for this day that will account for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, We are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Brother Washington, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you believe he died for your sins?
Yes.
Have you announced him as your Savior?
Yes.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. For your sins?
Yes.
Have you announced him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
I love Jesus.